In a sense, it's delivering on a promise that was made by John F. Kennedy first back in 1961. But today, Barack Obama and his Russian counterparts sign a treaty called the New START Treaty, which actually begins to reduce nuclear weapons, building down the Cold War nuclear arsenal in a really significant way for the first time. Here to discuss it is Will Tobey, senior fellow at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. He's also former deputy administrator of the National Nuclear Security Administration. Will Tobey, good morning.
Good morning.
Also back with us, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, watching events from Washington. He spoke with the president about his nuclear program as recently as this week. David Sanger, thanks for coming back to the program.
Good to be back with you.
Let me begin with you. What is the significance of doing this in the Central European city of Prague, especially given all of the nuclear tensions of the 1980s and going back, you know, well before then?
Well, I assume the president wanted to return to the site of his speech last year in which he laid out his vision for the future. It obviously also is a convenient meeting point, roughly halfway between the East and West, at least in the old days.
And you can hear in President Obama's voice at the signing ceremony in Prague this morning his sense of enthusiasm about this being a first step. Let's listen to the president.
This treaty will set the stage for further cuts. And going forward, we hope to pursue discussions with Russia on reducing both our strategic and tactical weapons.
David Sanger, you suggested at the top of the hour that the accounting, and actually the counting of these reductions, is a little bit, shall we say, ambiguous. And I'm wondering how much work there is left to do once they achieve the targets over the next 7 years that they're talking about today.
Well, there's a lot of work left to be to do. You know, this is certainly a laudable step, but it's not by any means a significant cut. I mean, there were cuts that were made during the Bush administration, early in the Bush administration, with something called the Moscow Treaty, which was signed in 2002, but they weren't terribly permanent. This does make the cuts more permanent, but as I said before, there are some strange accounting rules. For example, every bomber is counted as a single weapon, even though you can put anywhere between 6 and 24 weapons on a bomber, depending on whose bombers they are and what design they are. So there are ways in which either side could interpret these rules in a way that would barely require them to cut at all. The really interesting question is, what next set of cuts could President Obama and President Medvedev negotiate? Because the Russians feel that at this level, they're perfectly safe. But there's a lot of concern in Russia that if you cut below, say, 1,000 weapons, they could be vulnerable to a first strike by the U.S., in part because Russia does not have as well-hidden weapons as the U.S. does, because so many of the U.S. weapons are aboard submarines.
Interesting point. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Will Tobey, senior fellow at the Belfer Center at the JFK School at Harvard. You know, as a layperson, I'm wondering, in the rhetoric that we're hearing here and what David Sanger talked about, the security concerns of the Russians, the Cold War is over. But why this need on the part of these, in the case of one former superpower and a current superpower, to hold on to these weapons? What is the hesitation to get rid of them entirely?
Well, I think both the United States and Russia have their own reasons to maintain nuclear deterrence. For Russia, their nuclear deterrent has, if anything, become even more important to their security. They've gone from a situation in which the Soviet Union had a massive conventional capability to one in which Russia doubts its ability to defend its own borders with its conventional forces, and hence has articulated a nuclear doctrine that would contemplate the first use of nuclear weapons.
And that, of course, is more dangerous.
Well, not necessarily. Their reasons for using those weapons would only come into play if, in fact, they were attacked by a larger conventional force. I see no prospect of, for example, war in Europe breaking out. And so, therefore, it seems unlikely that the Russians would feel compelled to use their nuclear weapons.
So, Will Toby, then the real question here, aside from what Dmitry Medvedev or whatever Russian leader who emerges and the president negotiate in further along treaties over the next several years, does this become a model or at least an argument on the part of the United States for reduction of nuclear arsenals elsewhere in the world? The proliferation outside of the Cold War construct is certainly a much bigger threat to the world than these Cold War nukes, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. The proliferation issue is far more threatening for the United States and, I believe, for Russia than competition between the two countries. The argument is certainly made that the major powers need to reduce their weapons in order to allow for non-proliferation work to advance. I must admit, I'm a little skeptical as to how strong that linkage is. It seems unlikely, for example, that either Iran or North Korea are going to change their decisions about their various programs based on this new treaty.
Will Toby is a former deputy administrator of the National Nuclear Security Administration and is a senior fellow at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at the JFK School at Harvard. David Sanger, before we go, what do you think of this linkage? Obama would have us believe that if the superpowers or the former superpower, U.S. and Russia, can bring down their weapons, it makes a more powerful argument for reduction of proliferation in other emerging nuclear countries. Do you buy it?
It certainly puts the United States on a better moral ground to make that case, but I'm with Will. I think that it's going to be very difficult to get Iran and North Korea to do so, and I think the bigger issue is going to be how you deal with the likes of India and Pakistan, which are actually building up the size of their arsenals at a time that the U.S. and Russia are building down.
Does the Obama administration have a position on Indian nukes and the growth of that arsenal?
You know, they do have a position on it, but they've been very, very careful on it. I raised the issue with President Obama in an interview on Monday, and he basically ducked around it. He said, you know, until you solve the underlying tensions between India and Pakistan, it's very hard to get them to address their nuclear arsenals.
Really interesting. Sensitivities all over the map still on the nuclear issue, but a treaty signed in Prague. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.